Assalamu alaikum. This is Maliha Teaches for Muslim Health Talk. What exactly does Muslim Health Talk mean? It means nourishing our body, nourishing our soul, nourishing our mind, and nourishing our heart. And the best way of doing that is following the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and instilling it in our daily life. Let's get started. Bismillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma zidni ilman. Oh Allah, please increase us in knowledge. So today I wanted to discuss the 10th of Muharram, also known as Ashura. So before we begin, I guess we can talk about what does Muharram mean, right? Muharram means forbidden, haram, which is one of the forbidden months where fighting is forbidden, the four sacred month, one of the four sacred months. And Ashura means the 10th. So it's on the 10th of Muharram. So many significant things happened on this special blessed day. A few of the things were that the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam had settled on Mount Judi, which meant that the rain and the tribulations were over. Another is that on that day, on the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, the Red Sea opened up for Musa alayhi salam and his people, and so they were saved from Fir'aun, and then Fir'aun was also drowned. Another thing is that Yunus alayhi salam, the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, was saved from the belly of the whale. And then another is Yusuf alayhi salam was reunited with his father Yaqub alayhi salam, and some say that he was saved, taken out of the well. Also, Ibrahim alayhi salam, our father Ibrahim alayhi salam, was born on that day. And some sources say that he was saved from Nimrud. So this day has many, and then there's so many more too. This day has many great spiritual importances. But we kind of want to know, like, what is the significance of this day besides these special events that happen? So in Mecca, many, many years ago, during the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, the mushrikeen, the Arab pagans, the ones that did not follow Islam, actually fasted on this day, the 10th of Muharram. And they fasted because their community, the Quraysh, their forefathers, had at one point committed a sin collectively. And so they decided to fast on this day as a source of repentance for that sin that the forefathers had committed. And this was the time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there. And then, you know, initially Muslims did not know the significance of this 10th day of Muharram, until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them why it was so important. And this happened after the Muslims and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrates to Medina and arrives in Medina Munawwara, he sees the Jewish community of Medina, not all the Jews in the world, but just the Jewish community of Medina, fasting on the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks them, why are you guys fasting on this day? And they respond that this was the day that Prophet Musa alaihi salam, which is the prophet, which is our prophet as well, but it's also the prophet of the Jews, was, and the people of Israel were saved from Pharaoh. So when Musa alayhi salam was alive, he had also fasted, shukran illillah, because, which means he fasted out of gratitude for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for helping him. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his community that we as Muslims are more deserving or entitled of the Prophet Musa alayhi salam than the Jews, So we will fast on the day of the 10th day of Muharram. And so for 1 year, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and of course, you know, with Allah's command, told the Muslims that this is an obligatory prayer. So they prayed, thinking that it was going to be an obligation forever, but they didn't know that it was going to be changed the following year. So that year, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declares that it is an obligation, it's a fard to fast on the day of Ashura. And this is way before even when, this is way before Ramadan was a month of fasting. So this is the first fast that was prescribed on the Muslims. So for 1 year, fasting on Ashura was mandatory. Once fasting for Ramadan became mandatory for 30 days and it became obligatory, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the fasting of Ashura would not be obligatory. Instead, it would be voluntary. So first you have Ashura, you know, the 10th of Muharram being an obligation for fasting. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the commandment to fast for 30 days in Ramadan. And after which the day of Ashura goes back, becomes voluntary, right? And this happens between 1 year. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told that it is an obligation to fast on Ashura, he says that if I am alive till next year, that I will fast not just on the day of Ashura, which is the 10th of Muharram, but I will also fast on the 9th. Or he's also narrates that he will either do 10th and 11th. And the reason for Muslims fasting not just on the 10th, but the 9th and 10th, or the 10th and the 11th, is that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started fasting on the 10th day of Muharram, the Jewish people would say, oh, you're copying our way, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to make sure that Muslims, and publicly declare to everyone that this is not the case. You know, we are not copying them. And so he made a public statement that, you know, next year if I'm alive, I will fast 10th and 9th or 10th and 11th. So that is why Muslims are recommended to fast 2 days, right? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not live to see the next year of Ashura, the next day of Ashura till the next year. So, but his community, and the Muslims have listened to his advice, and we try to fast 9th and 10th and 10th and 11th. It's not an obligation that we have to fast both days. It's not an obligation that we have to fast 3 days. It's not even an obligation to fast the 10th of Muharram. It's just a recommendation. It's a sunnah, and it's a very, you know, you get rewarded for it. So Muharram, the month of Muharram, is a very blessed month. It is one of the four sacred months in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared these 4 months as sacred from the time that heaven and earth were created. The entire month of Muharram is blessed, not just the 10th day, which is Ashura. It is a time where good deeds are multiplied and magnified. But so if we give charity, we don't just get, you know, the reward that we're told we're going to get. We get a multitude of it. You know, we don't know how much more, but so much more. But also on the other hand, on the flip side, if we do bad deeds, they are also magnified and multiplied. So we need to be very cautious and careful of not sinning or not knowingly, of course, doing things that would be displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Muharram was one of the sacred months, it was one of the sacred months because fighting was prohibited, you know, throughout history, like even before Islam, during Islam as well. And so this meant that Muslims were able to travel to Hajj, from Hajj back home and return without being harmed, and they would safely return home. So every single day of this month is blessed, and we should take advantage of it, right? We should do as many good deeds as we can. And I'll go through a list of things we can do, not just on the 10th of Muharram, but the entire month. Muharram is the first lunar month in the Islamic calendar. So it's the beginning of the Muslim calendar year for us. And Muslims, and this should remind us of beginning, of the start, of, you know, a new day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave Adam alayhi salam on Ashura. This earth, we should remember that this earth is not our abode. We are only travelers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to hasten to get to Jannah so that our focus should be to reach our abode eventually. And what we do on this earth is in preparation, in a struggle to work for the hereafter, which inshallah is Jannah. So how do we do this? How do we gain Jannah as our eternal abode? When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam met his father, our father Ibrahim alayhi salam, in Jannah, this occurred when he went up to the heavens and he traveled there on Isra and Wal Miraj, right? Ibrahim alayhi salam told him that the dhikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, our prayers, the charity that we do when we're humble and we are kind to others, the supplications that we make, all these good deeds, all these good acts, all these acts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be pleased with, will help us build a home in Jannah. They are like the money that we save up, the funds that we save up, you know, slowly and slowly and slowly to build a home in Jannah, right? They are the seeds. They are what cultivates the estates, the gardens, the trees, the greenery that we will, inshallah, have when we reside in Jannah, our property, our land there. And the angels work really, really hard in building this for us. But we as Muslims here on earth need to consistently save for this by making dhikr, by reading Quran, by praying, by giving zakat, not just zakat, but by giving charity, by being kind to everyone, by forgiving people. That is the money that you're saving. It's what you work for, right? When the angels stop working in this area, they're asked, like, why did you stop working? And they will say, we are waiting for humans, us, to continue to give funds, to continue to give towards building our estate. So when we're praying, when we're fasting, when we're making dhikr, when we are remembering Allah, when we are doing good acts, we're constantly putting money in our saving bank, which will pay for every brick, every tree, every flower that we will be built and Jannah for us. But when we stop, the angels will stop working and wait for us to continue our ibadah, our good deeds. SubhanAllah, like when you think of it that way, you should always, whenever you remember, do something that would be pleasing to Allah. So if you're going on a walk, right? If you're going on a walk and you are just continually looking around and just looking at the trees, you know, instead of just looking at the trees, say SubhanAllah, you know, say your salawats. Remember the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Recite Quran that you have in your memory, you know, constantly. Or if you are, I don't know, lying down in the sun and you have nothing else, make dhikr, you know, or try to think of something that you can give in charity or help somebody or forgive someone. Or even if you're not thinking about yourself, like think about reading certain surahs for your parents who have passed away. Any good deed that will, inshallah, help you, right? Now we want to think about, like, what are the significance of the day of Ashura? So the significance was to celebrate or commemorate the victory of the oppressed over the oppressor. So the lesson learned is that if we are oppressed, and the reason why it's the victory of the oppressed over the oppressor is that when we think about it, Musa alayhi salam, right, was oppressed by Pharaoh and the people of Israel, and they were treated horribly, right? But eventually, on the day of Ashura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them, right? And allowed the sea to part and allowed them to escape and not be harmed by Pharaoh. So the lesson learned is that when we, or if we are ever oppressed by someone, by something, you know, or we're having struggles in our life and it's difficult, you know, we should remember that this oppression, this difficulty, this struggle will not last forever. You know, your difficult days will not continue forever. Eventually, inshallah, things will change and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you relief, as He has promised that after every difficulty, there will be relief, right? Just like when we breathe oxygen in, we eventually release it, right? Just like when we work really, really hard and we're exhausted during the day, eventually we have a moment of rest, whether it's to sit down or to sleep or take a nap or something. So there will come a day when you will have victory, right? So this is the lesson that we should remember. And this lesson gives us great hope, gives a person joy to look forward to, and become, you know, you become hopeful and optimistic, you know, and you remember that this is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's shown us these examples in the prophets, and we're supposed to use the stories of the prophets as examples. And all of the prophets have gone through struggles. But as I mentioned in the beginning, Ashura, the day of Ashura, is a day that many of the prophets gained relief, gained from their struggle, gained, you know, like Noah alayhi salam's boat, which was in the rain, in the flood for days and days and days, finally, you know, went and stopped at Mount Judee. And that is when the flood ended and everything ended, and the boat was able to come open up and all the people were able to get out. Yusuf alayhi salam was saved from the well that he was thrown in. So all these are really good examples for us to remember. And I think also they had mentioned there's narratives that says that Ibrahim alayhi salam was also on this day saved from the fire. This lesson should also remind the oppressor, right, that the message to the oppressor should be that your day will also come. If you harm people, if you make life difficult for people, if you bother people and think nothing of it, the oppressor, the one who oppresses people, should remember that your day will come too. So why not stop and ask for forgiveness now and repent and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before this day of getting what you deserve comes, right? When we're in earth, we have the opportunity to repent if we've done something wrong. We have the opportunity to ask for forgiveness if we've oppressed anyone. We have the opportunity to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us if it has something to do with our own nafs or our own diseases of the heart. Like if I know that I am someone who bothers people, right? But for some reason it gives me power because I think, wow, like I can tell people what to do, and it works because I'm able to, or I can scare people or make people fearful or bother people, and I get what I want. That's oppression, right? Even if you are talented and you're able to somehow manipulate and get your way, that's still oppression. And so I need to think and say, wait a minute, I might think it's a skill, and I might be getting what I want, but it's not coming because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with it. I'm actually causing oppression on someone, somewhere, and I'm gaining what I want, right? And so I should hold myself accountable. And I was thinking about how can a person do this? And the reason why many people nowadays live a life where they don't even realize they're doing this is because they are so used to keeping themselves entertained and busy that we actually don't contemplate and think about what we've done and hold ourselves accountable. So if I am going to work, right, I wake up in the morning and I get food ready and I'm going to work and I do what I need to do, then I come home and I'm on my computer, then I'm on the phone, then I go to sleep. Like there is no time I've set in my day where I could actually think and stop and say, what have I done? Is that something that Allah would be pleased with or not? And if I don't have time to myself, because you know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the prophets have shown us this example. They used to go, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself would go up to the Mount of Hira, the cave, the mountain of light, and he would spend sometimes days, sometimes many days, just sitting and reflecting and contemplating and taking, you know, not just himself accountable, but thinking about like what's happening in the world, how could he better himself, being in isolation, secluding himself. We are given this opportunity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we pray 5 times a day and after our prayer, we're supposed to sit and for 5 minutes or a few minutes or as long as you have, think about, you know, speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask him for forgiveness and maybe contemplate in those few minutes and say, you know, do self-reflection and think, what have I done right? What have I done wrong? What can I improve? Sadly, and I'll admit, first to blame, because of my surrounding, I get distracted. And after prayer, I make dua, but I'm not focused to contemplate. And I'm going to do another talk on how we can put in our schedule a way where we can have this time of reflection every single day. Make it a habit. Because it's important, right? If we're the oppressor, we need to hold ourselves accountable. We need to change ourselves. We need to ask for forgiveness so that we are forgiven before we're taken out of this earth, right? And the best example for us of this is that when Musa alayhi salam was saved on the day of Ashura, that is also the same day that Fir'aun was drowned, right? And so the oppressor Fir'aun was punished. So fasting on the day of Ashura is a sunnah act. And like I said, if we fast 2 days, it's great. If we fast 1 day, it's wonderful, but it's still a sunnah. So, and then after many years, in the year of 61, a famous event occurred, which was the martyrdom of the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his name is Hussein radiallahu anhu. So Hussein radiallahu anhu, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and 20 members of his family and 52 other individuals who were in his community and his party were all martyred on this day, the day of Ashura, by other Muslims in Karbala. And Karbala means, is a combination of two words. In Karb means distressed, and Bala means tribulation. So the hypocrites made two groups of Muslims fight each other until they martyred the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grandson. We as Muslims are grieved when we remember what has happened to Hussein radiallahu anhu, not just on the day of Ashura, but every day of the year. So so we need to learn a lesson from this, right? If we have, we should not fight each other today, ever, right? As Muslims, the Muslims did, they fought each other. They were, you know, the mushrik, the hypocrites made two groups fight each other. We as Muslims should get along with one another. We should not fight with each other. We should, even if we have differences, if we have different ways of, let's say, you know, raising kids or educating them or anything that's differences, we should use this as a lesson and not hate one another, not fight with one another. And sadly, I feel like online, there's a lot of anger amongst Muslims, and they easily fight with one another. So they easily argue with one another over the smallest insignificant things. So we should also make sure that we make every effort to keep family ties, Muslim ties, right? Something significant and worthy and important to us, and make every effort not to break these really important ties. If we are true to our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if we are true to our deen, to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will make every effort to learn and implement the lessons that we have learned from this special, important day, Ashura. The whole point is that something happened in the history, right? And we need to learn over this occasion. This is not a day to celebrate food or, you know, only grieve or anything like that. There are 2 days that we celebrate food, and those 2 days are on the two Eids, and that is it. And this is also not a day that we want to harm ourselves. There's no reason for that. So just to recap, the two significance of this day specifically is one, the victory of the oppressed over the oppressor, and the fasts that come in the Sahih narrations. And the second is, we need to learn lessons from what happened in history, right? So as Muslims, we should try to definitely get along with one another, respect one another, and not fight with one another. So there are many things we can do on this special day, right? To gain the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's a special day. So the first thing, of course, we know we can fast, right? Another thing we can do is we can recite the Quran. And a few scholars have mentioned that this is very important, reciting Surah Ikhlas. It has been mentioned that in narratives that whoever recites 1,000 times Surah Ikhlas, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish them afterwards. We can give sadaqah, we can give charity in secret. And when we give charity in secret, it extinguishes the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we give charity in openly, it diverts calamities, difficulties, things that, you know, would have harmed us. And it elevates us in a higher degree, right? In a higher state to Allah, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing we can do is we can spend generously on our family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be generous with us. So this is to show that your family and your loved ones are important. And, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this as an example for us because he loved his family and he had compassion for them. And family is important because they've done so much for you. Like I always tell my kids, you know, imagine yourself, look at this plate, because when we're in a dinner table, it's easier for me to explain it to them. You know, my empty plate, it's a circle. And I say, the circle is your family. You know, your mom, your dad, your sisters and brothers are all around the circle. And you're in the middle, this little, I don't know, pea that's left on my plate, right? And I say that if you make sure your family is a garment, they're protecting you while you're in this little circle. And if you take care of them, you'll always be protected. So you have to take care of them in order for them to take care of you. But if you allow anyone or anything to happen, then your circle is gone and you are vulnerable, right? So taking care of your family should be very, very important. Another thing is that we can, you know, honor kingship ties, you know, our family members, and make sure that we are close to them, and not just our sisters and brothers, our cousins, our aunts, our uncles, our grandparents. These are all kingship ties. You know, even the greeting of salam and entering with a heart, a happy heart, is commendable. It's rewarded. So some may think like, okay, yeah, but I don't get along with certain people in my family. Well, you know, saying salams, just telling them you're thinking about them, calling them once in a while, texting them if you feel like calling is not something good. Just making sure that you keep that connection alive, not severing it, not forgetting about them. Even if it's the bare minimum, right? Some of us, and I'm at fault at this, we get so busy with our life that even the Eid will come and you'll forget to call your uncles or your aunt or your grandparents that are in a different state or maybe in a different country. And then a year will pass by and you've never checked up on them. And this is not okay, right? We have so much easy access in communicating nowadays that we never had before. There's no excuse. We will be held accountable. So sending a text, calling, and speaking for 5 minutes, it's the least we can do. Another thing we can do is that we can extend our kindness towards orphans, right? It's always commendable. It's always rewarding to be kind to children who do not have parents. Another thing is we can return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through sincere repentance and asking Him for forgiveness. We can make sure that we are a part of gatherings that are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that are doing good things. We can pray, make up our extra, you know, the prayers that we have missed on this day. We can visit the sick, right? Visiting the sick or calling and asking about them or cooking for them or going to the grocery store for them and just leaving, you know, the bag behind their home door so that they don't have to make that effort or drive. This is really helping the sick. And when we visit the sick in the morning, we are told that 1,000 angels will seek forgiveness for us until the evening. And if we visit the sick in the evening, then 1,000 angels will occupy us and forgive, ask for our forgiveness until the morning. So how amazing is that, right? I know that nowadays with this COVID and things, people don't feel comfortable allowing someone to come and visit them. But we have the phone. We can FaceTime someone. We can ask about them. And like I said, we can buy things that they would need. We could make soup. There's so many things we can do. So visiting the sick becomes a different definition in today's world. But just letting them know that we care about them and being there for them, making dua for them, asking how they are. These are like really simple things we can do to make someone feel good. And when we make someone's day, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of us. There's a really great dua we can say on the day of Ashura, as well as any other day, but definitely on this blessed day. And that is, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil wa ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. So I hope, inshallah, these few tips will help you, you know, realize what Ashura means. It's a really great reminder for myself, of course. I think most of the time I do these podcasts for myself, so I can listen to it again, or I can put it for my kids, or so I don't forget what's important, what I need to do. So inshallah, I hope that is also beneficial for any of you that are listening. Keep us in your du'as. Keep the whole entire ummah in your du'as. All the Muslims, all the people in the world. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for joining me, Maliha Teaches, for Muslim Health Talk. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and so much more. All of our links can be found on Linktree Muslim Health Talk. Assalamu alaikum.